Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live, Thursday, November 17th. Oh my goodness, it's beginning to look a lot like Thanksgiving. I'm going to get to go to Thanksgiving with my daughter, Amelia, and we're going to celebrate that with my mom.
Ooh.
This will be her 95th Thanksgiving.
All right.
Now, many times the holidays are stressful. I have 10 ways to de-stress. 10 ways. All you have to do is call, email, and we will send you 10 ways to de-stress. And you know what? They're not earth-shattering. They're just really good to have them on a list and look at it, such as talk to somebody. I mean, really, quit keeping it inside. Talk to somebody. There are a couple others I really like, but I like them all, especially that one on music. Boy, that can either destroy your life or make it better. You can get that for free. In the meantime, we've got Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron here, and really excited that you guys are with us. And, well, we've got a whole bunch of calls here. Now, Alice, what is your favorite way, and don't make this politically correct, come on, tell us, what's your favorite way to de-stress?
My most effective personal way is a nap, which I used to be opposed to because I thought it was a weakness to need a nap, and it seemed selfish. But when I'm well-rested, I love people around me better.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Mark?
I wish I could nap. I'm just not a napper.
Oh, I feel for you.
Oh, so different ways. So just find, you know, different ways for self-care. I like to play soccer. I like to listen to podcasts, watch a movie. Different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I discovered? My wife led me to this. Warm bath. Nothing de-stresses me like a warm bath. Uh-huh. You know that water comes around you? It's kind of like getting a hug from... that's what I do. But I know that's not brilliant, but it works for me, people. All right, let's go to the calls. Let's quit messing around here, and let's go right here. I want to talk with Patty, and Patty is calling us from Dallas, Texas, where we're doing our next Every Man's Battle workshop December 2nd. Hi, Patty. How are you today?
I am great. How are you all today?
I'm doing all right, and I think Mark and Alice look like they're doing all right also.
We are.
How can
well,
we help?
I just like to say that God has blessed you all with many talented gifts, and it's a blessing that you guys are sharing them with other people.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you, Patty. Mm-hmm. How can we help?
I'd like to ask you a question. I have to give you a tiny bit. I'm trying to consolidate this, a tiny bit of background. I have a lot of abandonment and many trauma issues in my life. I was sexually abused most of my life and raped multiple times.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yeah. It's been a challenge to work through that, let me tell you. It really has. And anybody that's gone through it doesn't understand it totally unless they've walked in those shoes.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to sound like I'm an expert, but I've lived it.
Yes.
About approximately a year ago,
well, wait just a second. Let me just stop you there. And we're going to go to a break. I didn't realize we had so little time in this segment. But hold on, we'll hear what has happened since then. And we're really, really going to be praying for you during the break. And I'm glad you called, Patty.
Thank you.
Anybody, Thank you. who's gone through something like this, life has got to be one tough challenge. We'll talk about that right after this. If you need some help, 1-800-229-3000. We're here for you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron. Mark works over in the clinic. Mylon and Kay started. That's our connection with him. When it comes to knowing how we love, he knows how you love. Mm-hmm. He really does. But we're talking with Patty, and Patty has just described a horrific, horrific past of abuse and multiple rapes. And so, Patty, how could we help you today? We want to.
And I appreciate that. Approximately a year ago, my husband, which we've been married 49 years, it's been a rocky marriage, but I've stuck it out because I didn't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
That's the nicest way I can describe it. Which it's affected my two boys in one worse than others, but yeah, it's not been good. But anyway, approximately a year ago, he started acting out sexually by masturbating. I'd be walking down the hall and I'd look in my spare bedroom and he's laying in there on the bed doing whatever it is he was doing. And that to me felt like it ripped my insides out.
And you told him about that, right? You told him how it affected you.
I literally flipped out.
And what was his response to that?
Get over it.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were going to counseling before that, and because the marriage had gotten so rocky. And his favorite term to me was just on anything. Anytime I confronted it, it was get over it. And I even told the counselor, I said, if I hear those words again, he's going to regret it.
I
don't want to hear them again.
Oh, my goodness. You know? Who would?
I mean,
who would?
And so this, what I'm trying to do, I can't change him.
Right.
And I'm not here to try to change him. I wish things would change in my heart so much that you will never know, because even as sick as it is, I still love that man. Yeah. And I am still very angry because I bore my soul to that man with telling him how much that sexual abuse hurt me and how much it took for me.
Sure.
And yet he brought that type of abuse into my house.
All right, so tell us what you want us to help you with, because it's just so painful.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I've asked him to go to Every Man's Battle, and I told him I wanted to go to Restore. Well, the first thing he tells me most of the time is, oh, we can't afford that. We can't do that. And we have come to some of your, we went to the intimacy workshop, and what I learned there is that was a joke. Patty did the homework. Patty paid attention. Patty took the notes, and Gene was just there.
So sad.
And so what he told me the other night when I said that, I said, Gene, I want to go to Restore. And he pats me on the back and he says, I'll do whatever you want to do. I'll do whatever you want to do. I said, well, then what I want to do is for you to go to Restore, because I don't think the masturbation has stopped. And I don't even feel in my heart that that's the only thing.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Okay, but so what is the question for us then? Because we want to help you.
Tell me what I need to do to get over these feelings and to get past where I'm stuck. I try to have sex with him and it makes me sick nearly.
Okay.
And I don't know how to fix it anymore.
Right. I'm so sorry that this is what it's come down to after 49 years of marriage.
Yeah.
Mark, let's start with you. What do you have to say here?
Yeah, Patty, it sounds like you've got some good thoughts here on how to move forward here. I think every man's battle is probably a great starting spot for your husband. Going to Restore for you is probably a really good starting spot for you. Yeah, sex in marriage, it's a two-person issue, right? It's a couple issue. And I'm sure he has his needs, but there's a way to, you know, discuss that and a way to approach that and a way to treat you in a way that's biblically honoring. Has the counselor that you've been through, have they walked you through biblical sexual intimacy? Have you talked through those issues with them at all?
I have. My husband's idea of going to counseling was primarily to fix me.
Yeah, and that's
there was really no ownership on his part as far as him doing anything wrong. And that doesn't work when you're trying to repair too.
Right, right. And it's unfortunate that that is his thought to it. I think for you, I would, if he says that he's willing to go, sign him up for Every Man's Battle. Have him go. I mean, you can't force his participation there. If he's willing to do it, I would go to Restore if I was you too. Maybe it might be helpful for you to do a therapy called EMDR, eye movement desensitization processing.
I've done that. I have done the EMDR. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do it with my eyes, so she tapped on my leg, is what she did. I can say I had some good progress in the beginning, and then I don't know if it was me, if it was the counselor, if it was the combination of both. I kind of felt like that we hit a wall. If you know what, I don't know if I'm describing that right or not, but I didn't feel like it was going any further.
Yeah.
Now,
okay.
I did have somewhat of a breakthrough early on, and it helped me to remember some things, which was helpful to me. But then after that, I really didn't.
Okay.
And I'm not opposed to anything.
So she's done that. What should she do?
Yeah.
Either of you, what do you think is the best path for her?
And I think just to wrap up my thought here, I would say, you know, try those two pathways first, you know, Every Man's Battle or Restore. But yeah, you can't force his participation. And in the end, you may have to think about what kind of boundary you might have to hold with him if he continues destructive behavior.
And he was resistant to the intimacy in marriage. There's less chance of that resistance at Every Man's Battle because you're really influenced by the other men there. You're very open with other men. Everybody's there for one issue. It is different, and that might provide the breakthrough. Alice, your thoughts?
Oh, Patty, it is obvious that your husband dismisses your feelings, that
yeah.
abhorrent phrase, get over it.
Mm.
Patty, do
Horrible.
You know who else? Yeah. Do you know who else dismisses your feelings?
Everybody.
Including you, my friend. You dismiss your own feelings and you try to shut down your radar system that is screaming, this isn't right for me. I shouldn't tolerate this. You're trying to be loving and submissive, and there's good in those principles. But sister, I think you are dismissing your own feelings. Even your question to us is, how should I get over my anger? This is not an anger to get over. This is an anger to accept, because this kind of righteous anger can move us into taking the action we need to protect our hearts and our bodies from being perpetrated against and mistreated, as it sounds like your husband is doing. I don't want you to get over this anger. I want you to harness it so that you can start setting those boundaries that Mark mentioned to say, if you continue to dismiss my feelings, these are the actions I'm going to take. These are the ways I'm going to distance myself from mm-hmm. that treatment so that my heart doesn't get trampled on. And Patty, that usually involves increasing levels of separation. Now, I agree to take your husband up on and going to every man's battle, and I hope he meant that. But as this treatment continues within your household, you may need to emotionally distance yourself, letting your husband know, if you won't learn to take better care of my heart, then I have to separate from you. I have to engage with you less until I see that you're learning to treat me better. I'm learning to treat myself better, too, because I got to take these feelings seriously. How do you receive that from me? Because I've got a strong tone of voice right now, and I'm getting mm-hmm. a little intense on your behalf, Patty. How are you feeling?
No, I think you're 100% right, because I have learned throughout my life that if I did not shut my feelings off, that people were just going to continue to stomp on me, and I've learned to do that in my marriage as well. I know it's not a healthy place, but I have learned to distance myself when I see things that are getting intense and he's in one of his moods and he is being abusive. He has been physically in the past, but that's only been a few times. It's more emotional abuse that he does. Then I'll go shut myself in a room and just lock myself off, and then I hear him telling me, well, you know this isn't right because you're not supposed to isolate yourself. You're not supposed to do that. That makes you just worse. See, you're doing
everything that's
wrong.
Patty, I'm going to speak into that because the Bible tells us, this comes from the book of Matthew, that as a person engages in unrepentant sin against us, we're to warn them with a witness, and then we are to distance ourselves from them. We're to separate from that behavior and that person if necessary. And I think your separations have probably not been long enough. I'm glad you do separate yourself, but I think it's too short. My heart just ached when you said, I stay because I don't have anywhere else to go. Mm. And part of what we do in Restore is we develop another place to go, even if that's in relationship with other women who can understand us, who can protect us, and who can help us strategize how far we have to go sometimes to get emotionally and physically, sexually safe.
See, we're on your side. We're for you, totally for you. And when you're totally for you, you're going to not put up with this. You're going to go to radical extremes to heal yourself. And you're going to demand, if you want us to stay together, you must get help. And the thing about submission, you know, well, Ephesians 5:22 starts about a 43-word segment to women on submission, followed by an over 100 word to men
yes.
on dying to yourself mm-hmm. to bring oneness to the relationship, to honor God. But all of that starts with the verse 21, Ephesians 5:21. Submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. There's no dictator, doormat, setup thing here. The man doesn't call the shots and the woman follows on, nor does the woman act like she's the mother telling the little boy what to do. It says, submit yourselves one to another, and then it gives you about 40 words on how she can do that, and it gives the men, for some reason, we get over 100 words to die to self. That's the way I believe it's meant to be. It's the way God intended for that to be read, and that's what I'm hoping you're going to have. And many times we don't ever have what we can have until we get very, very tough and force a person to see the reality that they have created. Alice, you want to close us out with something there?
In situations like this, I recommend prayerfully considering letting your spouse know, I will be willing to be sexually available to a husband who is respectful and kind and considerate and who has shown that over a period of time. I will not be sexually available to a sexually and emotionally abusive spouse.
Amen. If you need some help, you know, you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or you can call and sign up for Restore. It is a healing experience. Then also, the very last Every Man's Battle is occurring in December. Men, come. Women, demand that they get the help they need.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We talk about love, but we are haters here. What do we hate? We hate people struggling when they don't need to. We hate people telling them stuff that prevents them from getting help, like, well, it's only an emotional or spiritual issue. Maybe not. Maybe it's a physiological issue, and maybe it's something. I was just explaining addiction to someone today. I said, well, here's what addiction is. It is a physiological problem, whether you're pumping drugs in or you're pumping them yourself in your brain. It's a physiological problem that has psychological symptoms that are observable to others and felt by you, and it has a spiritual solution. He said, could you go back? I want to write that down. But really, that's it. It's addiction isn't a spiritual problem first. It creates all sorts of spiritual problems. But I can tell you of some of the greatest people in the world that got addicted to fentanyl, because they had chronic pain, and the physician says, oh, this is not addictive. You can use it. And they got addicted, and then they had to get off of it. All right, that's my rant. Here we go. Let's talk with, how about we talk to Palma, Pilot Point, Texas. Palma, you are on. Where is Pilot Point, Texas?
Nowhere. No, I'm just
nowhere. That's funny. Funny answer. That is very funny.
It's a very small town near Denton, Texas.
Okay. Where I went to graduate school in Denton. Yeah. Okay.
Did
How
you?
Can we help you?
Oh,
yeah, I did. Oh, yeah.
Yep. It's a nice town, nice people. I just moved down here about 8 months ago from Connecticut. And,
well, how could we help
you? I love the people. I hope you can. I've been struggling with this because I was born and raised Catholic in Italy. I married a military, and that's why I'm in the States. But God saved me, and I became a believer almost 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So my question is, I have a niece from Italy that married an American, and she lives about an hour away from here, and then my younger sister, that she lives in Italy. And my question is, they really, with the Virgin Mary, my niece was telling me one day that it blew me away, that the Virgin Mary was born holy with no sin. And that's the reason why God chose her to have a son. And I was stuck there. Now, in a way, I only said that if God wanted to send the Virgin Mary to send messages and to talk about her son, first of all, we have the Bible that talks about Jesus Christ. And you can have him with the Holy Spirit inside of you. And they don't want to believe that. They believe that the Virgin Mary stayed virgin, that never had any more children. And when I pointed out in the Bible where Jesus said brother and sister, they were saying brother and sister in Christ, like as believer. And
yeah.
I just don't know what
okay.
to...
Got a question for you.
You know, this is my question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your question?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, I was going to ask you this question. Let's just say this. Let's say someone believes that she was born without sin and completely holy, and then just like they believe. Would that send that person to hell? If they believe that Jesus died on a cross for their sins, paid the penalty, God rose Jesus from the grave, he ascended into heaven. If they believe that, would believing that the Virgin Mary was also completely holy from birth, would that send them to hell? What do you think?
No, but I don't think it would send them to hell because they believe in Jesus Christ. But I don't know. They're believing. What I think is, how can you perceive that, saying that you love Jesus Christ like I gave my life to him, mm-hmm. and he gave me the understanding and the light of salvation.
Yeah.
So nothing else matters to me. I respect the Virgin Mary. I respect the saints. They were people that walked with God, the saints.
Yes, we are saints. But I really believe that, the Bible is so clear about Mary being a virgin. Jesus being born of a virgin, it makes total sense that would take place. I'm just making a point that we all have other disagreements on things. The key is, do we believe Jesus Christ is the only way? When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If we believe that, then whether or not we think dancing's okay or some of the other things that people get confused on, then maybe it's best to share how we feel, but then don't let that be the big thing that keeps us from having a relationship with someone.
No, I get that. I'm just trying to understand, how can you be a believer and love Jesus with all your heart and then continue with the rituals?
Hold on. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Palma. Alice, you were in the Catholic Church for quite some time. What do you have to say about all this?
I do appreciate your question, Palma, because my family has always been strongly devoted to the Virgin Mary, and in my journey from Catholicism to Christianity, I've come to believe a few different things, really through my reading of Scripture. But I also think Catholics can be saved, and Catholics are Christians as well. I think the denomination doesn't determine our salvation, but the standing of our relationship with Jesus. Rather than arguing whether or not the Virgin Mary was immaculately conceived, as Catholics believe, and I think it comes from the verse from Luke 1:28, when the angel said to Mary, "O favored one," or "Mary full of grace," I think we extrapolate that from that as Catholics, that Mary was sinless. But I think Romans 3:23 opposes that and tells us everyone has sinned and fallen short, including Mary. But when we get caught up in arguments about these particulars that could be interpreted one way versus another way, I think it does cause conflict in relationship that doesn't help either show forth the image of God in those conversations, and it doesn't lead a person usually into deeper relationship. It just tends to exacerbate argument. And so I want you to consider inviting your family members into Bible study with you, because I think it's an area we Catholics fall short. I certainly did. I'd never read through the Bible as a Catholic. Going to Mass and hearing the priest preach the sermon was sufficient for me and for most of my family, I believe. But as we dig into Scripture, it shocked me, Palma, like you're pointing out, to see that Jesus had brothers and sisters. I didn't know what to make of that as a Catholic, and could only think of the reasons how that wasn't biological siblings. And so rather than arguing the point, invite those family members. Would you do a Bible study with me? And let's talk about our differing opinions that we have. Let's be more listeners to one another rather than correcting each other where we disagree. Because I think it's the grace of God that comes through the Word that corrects the incorrect views that we have about God and the Bible.
All right. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you a one-year Bible for women commentary done by Misty Arterburn, addressing all the tough issues in Scripture for women. That is coming your way. All right. Let's go to Victor. Victor is calling from Boston, Massachusetts. W-E-Z-E. Victor, how are you today? Victor?
Yes.
How you doing?
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about my lady friend. A few weeks ago, she was in a bad space emotionally. She said she was she wasn't sure if she was going to live or die. I took the day off to be with her, and she was so happy about that. However, I noticed that when I go to her house, her son, who's in a wheelchair, he's 37, he doesn't respect her a whole lot. He said something to her that was very, not just disrespectful, but I wanted to physically slap him, but I didn't do anything. So I don't know. I know a little bit about her background, but I did know she did tell me that she was locked up for psychosis one time, but I'm not sure how to handle this sometime, especially with her son. Okay. I'm not really sure what to do. So,
well, let's start with Alice here and see what she has to say. Alice?
Victor, how long have you and this woman been dating?
Well, I've actually met her back in 93, 94, but we've actually, I guess you could say we're going together. We've been together since February of this year.
And with the psychosis that she mentioned, she maybe was in a psychiatric ward at some point. Is she in ongoing recovery now?
I don't think she is. This is another thing. I know she does do drugs sometimes and drinks, and I have told her numerous things, but she doesn't listen. But I don't think she's in recovery now, per se. I just think that whatever's going on emotionally, I'm not really sure what to do about it.
What do you think he should do, Alice?
Well, Victor, I would have you cautiously decide how involved you want to be in what sounds like a chaotic household with two people who perhaps are not receiving help for what they're going through. And if that's the case, it may be that this woman is choosing to live at this level of discord with her son. So you might invite her. Would you be interested in going to a recovery meeting with me? Would you listen to the New Life radio show with me? You might introduce her to recovery. Maybe she doesn't know about it, and she might be attracted to that. She might want to seek greater health. Her reaction to your invitation, it should be telling about how much you want to become engaged with her and her family, because they might be continuing to choose chaos.
Yeah, she's told her family about me. Her daughter seems to really, really like me. She says she met me once. I don't remember, but her son's a kind of standoffish, which I can understand.
But don't miss this point. If you're dating someone and she does drugs every now and then, and you're still dating that person, you're condoning using drugs. And then if you were to go forward and get married, then she's going to tell you, I was doing drugs, you knew it before we were married, this is the way you married me, this is the way I'm going to be. So I think that you need to make a choice here. Mark, what's your input here?
Yeah, so Victor, I want to address the immediate need too here. You said that she called you the other day saying that she's not sure if she wants to live or not. Is she under the care of a psychiatrist or a physician at all, therapist?
She was going to therapy some back in the summer. Mm-hmm. She said that's ended now. I don't know as far as her treatment and care. She does take a certain medication to help her sleep. I guess, you know, that's maybe part of the problem. But she wants it. Yeah.
I think Alice gave you fantastic advice about wanting, you know, thinking about how involved you want to be. But I think as part of being a friend to her, I think what you want to do is you want to probably encourage her to get in to see a psychiatrist, to be under the care of someone. And if she's resistant to that, I think the other thing that I would do is maybe try and come up with a safety plan with her. Hey, if you ever feel this way, will you call 911? Will you call me? Can I call 911 for you? Try and come up with a plan, because that, you know, safety is, you know, that's the priority here. And then I think you want to think about, consider all the things that Alice said to you too.
All right, I'm going to send you a copy of the 1-Year Bible for Men, but I really want to challenge you and challenge anybody in a relationship where something isn't right. Proverbs says, when you wink at wrong, you cause trouble, but an open rebuke brings lasting peace. And sometimes we have to address the problem. We have to deal with it, otherwise we condone it. And here's a person suicidal, doing drugs every now and then. I mean, just all sorts of things here that say maybe you can be the hero by getting help with her, suggesting a path for help. But heroes also walk away sometimes mm-hmm. when they've done everything that they can do. Because to stay is to enable the evil that is existing. And I would love for her to have you still in her life, but she's going to have to care about her life more than you do. And I think if you get serious about this, it might cause some different reactions. Many times we reach a point in life we'd rather be attached to something not well than not attached to anything at all. And the thing we're attached to then gets kind of an endorsement for their not wellness, you could say. Don't be that endorser. You know, a lot of people do things that'll keep the peace. Well, God doesn't honor peacekeepers. He honors peacemakers. Sometimes you have to disturb the peace to bring lasting peace. We're going to take a break. We'll come back for our final segment here today. Hope and pray. It's going to be a great weekend for you. And, you know, church, that's a great place to go. I find it quite peaceful and loving if it's the right church. That's what you need to do. Find that great church for you. Don't give up until you do. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we'll go back to calls. I want to play a little testimony for you also.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Dan calling in regards to New Life. And I have to state up front, even though I was a Christian, I've always been highly skeptical of psychology, even Christian psychology. I've always been the kind of guy that if there was an issue, I was going to fix it. And, you know, whatever the issue was. And it took some pressure from my wife, God love her, she's a wonderful lady, to get me to consider going to a couple of New Life programs. And I have to say the impact on our marriage and our family has been beyond anything I could have ever imagined. I found out a lot about her. I found out a lot about myself. It would have been impossible for me on my own to discover those things. I thought I could. But it takes an independent third-party person to kind of help you realize what's really going on in relationships and even with yourself. So this holiday season for us will be better than the last. And actually, since our involvement with New Life at several different programs, they've gotten better every year. Our whole family life has gotten better. And so what I would say to any man that's listening or any wife who has a husband that's skeptical, and there are many of us, that they would at least listen to my message, challenge themselves to go to one of the programs and work hard at it. And I guarantee you, if you're earnest, it will make a positive impact on your life, your marriage, your children, your wife, your extended family, your coworkers, everybody. So I actually can't say enough good about it. And you're probably talking to one of the biggest skeptics ever when I first started.
Well, that means a lot to me, and I hope it means a lot to you. Somebody skeptical then becomes willing and receives the help that they need. And if you could help us, this is the time of year to do it. Most people are thinking about how are they going to give? And I hope and pray that you will consider giving to New Life. You call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Dan, thanks for that. Appreciate that. All right, we've got time for just one more call, and I really wish we could have gotten to everybody, but let's go to Julie, Austin, Texas, and she will be listening to us on the internet. Hi there. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. Well, not
how
great.
Could we help?
I'll just get really quick. I'll go okay. As fast as I can. So I'm right. Calling about my daughter. She's 20 years old. About setting some boundaries with her. I have to give you a little backstory information. I was married to a preacher, a pastor, her entire life. My first husband that I got married to at 19. We got divorced when she was 16 because he was physically, emotionally abusive and then had a physical affair. Then after that, before that, I tried to keep everything from the children. I thought I was staying for them. I am a recovering pleaser. And after the divorce, I have a 22-year-old son, a 20-year-old daughter now, but she was 16 at the time of the divorce. And so when that happened, basically all of our lives were just traumatized and turned upside down. And she started, using, when she was with me, she was good. And then he played a lot of games mentally with her. And she started using pot. And she did it a little bit, and she stopped, and she would be with me, and she would be clean.
So what's the situation now? I'm almost out of time. What's the situation now that we could help?
The situation now is she's wrecked two vehicles that I've paid for, and I'm meeting with her and my son tonight. And I just need to know what boundary I need to set. I'm not buying her another vehicle, but I need to know what boundary I need to set when we meet.
Now, do you?
Of what my expectations are.
Okay. Well, Mark, go ahead. Comment here. I have a comment, but I'm going to save it.
Yeah, so that was actually going to be my question for you, Julie. Does she drive any of your vehicles? Because I was wondering how pot is negatively impacting your family here. I think you're on the right track here. I would not buy any more vehicles for her. I think you know, you're a recovering pleaser, so boundaries are probably going to be hard for you and probably have been hard for you. But I would, you know, think about what boundary you might need to set with her living in your house and how pot is affecting your household. What boundary you might need to set with her to...
I don't allow it in my house, and she knows that, and so I can't catch her with it.
Why is she living with you?
So she just finished school. She just finished college. And then now, I think it's just with her dad issues because he's completely, I mean, he's in the picture, but he's not present. And he never shows any, he never helps, he never encourages, he never gives her advice.
But why is she living with you? Why is she living with you?
Because she can't live with him because that's when she would do things. Okay. That's when she would get involved in everything.
So by providing her a place, by providing her a place to stay after she's graduated, and she's using drugs, and she doesn't have to pay for a place to stay, she can use that money to buy drugs and whatever else she's doing. You're really endorsing and providing for her, not a car, but you're providing housing that frees. You feel what?
I feel like I'm right back in the same cycle that I was with my ex-husband.
Well, right.
Like the
you
way
are.
I helped him.
And so here's what I would say. I would say, glad things have gone okay here, but the wrecked cars, the pot smoking now, the things that you're doing, well, I'm essentially paying for those by allowing you to stay here and do them. So I'm going to help you do anything I can for you to be independent so that in 6 months you will. And so within 6 months, or it could be 4 months, you could say, or three, you will need to leave here. That will be the last opportunity for you to live here as long as you're doing the other things. When you want help on how to live a life free of outside external medication, I'll be happy to get that help for you. But I would not allow somebody in my home smoking pot, wrecking cars, and then I give them a place to live. Alice, you have a quick comment because we're almost out of time.
Julie, I'd acknowledge that I know I'm an imperfect mom and you've been through so much with the divorce in our family. So this is what I'm going to keep doing in my own recovery. I'm going to go to Al-Anon and I invite you into some family therapy with me so we can figure out both my role and what we should do better going forward. And Julie, I want to take the pressure off that you don't need to know all the specific boundaries for tonight's conversation, but you do need to know the requests you'll make. And I think they should include that family and individual therapy, drug testing, random drug testing whenever Julie decides within her home, and that you will be limiting how much you share your resources depending on whether she's going to participate in these things or not. And she has the power to decide that. So you don't need to know exactly how you're going to limit your resources, but give that forewarning that the financial situation will be changing depending on her response.
Very good. All right. So I hope that you'll have the courage to really kind of set the stage for her getting better. By the way, when my son drives, he will have received a driver's license, and that driver's license gets renewed with drug tests and alcohol tests as we go forward. In other words, we're going to have to be the renewers of it. See, because we don't want to enable stuff that isn't necessary and also dangerous. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We love you. Care about you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.